This is In-Ear Insights, the Trust Insights podcast. This episode of In-Ear Insights is brought to you by SpinSucks. If you work in communications or public relations, you've heard of the PESO media model, paid, earned, shared, owned, pioneered by Ginny Dietrich and the team at SpinSucks. Take the next step and level up your career by earning a professional PESO model certification from SpinSucks and Syracuse University. In an 8-week online course, you'll learn PESO model strategy, effective use of all four media types, how PESO forms the foundation of your overall communication strategy, and how to tie communications to business impacts like lead generation and overall business goals. When you complete the course, you'll earn an accredited certificate from Syracuse University's S.I. Newhouse School of Public Communications, a powerful tool for setting yourself apart and above in the job market. Learn more about the certification today at trustinsights.ai/peso. That's trustinsights.ai/PESO. In this week's In-Ear Insights, we're talking about required math skills in our Analytics for Marketers Slack, which, by the way, if you're not a member of, please come on over to trustinsights.ai/analytics for marketers. Bill asked, when we spoke at Social Media Marketing World, I asked a rather pointed question. What if I'm bad at math? I responded to him that you may not have had the best teachers because math is a language. If you can learn other languages, you can learn math. And he's had a follow-on question. What mathematical skills do you believe are required to work with marketing analytics effectively? So, Katie, do you want to, which one of those do you want to tackle first? Like, are you bad at math? And also, what math skills do you think are necessary to be good at analytics?
So I'll tackle the first part of it. I am self-admittedly bad at math. I always have been. I understand the concepts of it, but I definitely transpose numbers. So I was always really good at geometry and proofs and those kinds of things. So there's a side of math that is very logical to me. I think I had decent math teachers. I have not been able to learn more than one language. I, at best speak broken English on a good day. So, I don't know that saying that you had bad teachers is necessarily the way. Some people are just not wired to be good at math. And I happen to be one of those people. That said, I don't think you have to have a PhD in math in order to be good at analytics. I think that you need to understand the fundamental concepts, basic addition, subtraction, division, multiplication, to get where it is you need to go. Because ultimately what you're doing is you're trying to answer a question. And so, maybe you rely on someone like a Chris Penn to help you get to that answer. But ultimately, you need to understand what question you're trying to answer first. Because just looking at a spreadsheet of numbers is going to make your eyes go crossed and blurry. And it's going to be really difficult to do. So I guess to answer the first question, you don't necessarily have to be a wizard in math in order to be able to do analytics and reporting. And so the second question is, what math skills should I have? Well, again, have the fundamentals, understanding the concepts of how numbers go together. You don't have to be able to necessarily master things like regression analysis, but understanding what it is going to be really helpful. Chris, you're going to feel a little bit differently than I do about this.
Yes and no. It may amuse you to find out that I was a straight C student in math for most of my life, except for statistics and probability, which I failed. certainly there is, I have no shortage of understanding the frustration people have. And my comment about bad teachers is exactly that. Because of those experiences I had, I didn't have the best teachers. I had people who were extremely good practitioners of the field, but were not good communicators and explainers of what it was that they were teaching. You're absolutely right that the basics are essential. You have to develop also the mindset. And I think this is what you're going at as well, the mindset of how do you think about the numbers. When you have a row of numbers in a spreadsheet, what do you see? A lot of people see the numbers and then they try to look at them and in some ways try and do the math in their heads. And that's a really bad idea because your brain's just not equipped for that. There are very few people who can do complex mathematics in their heads without any assistance. But when you start thinking about, okay, what do I want to know?
The number one thing that people should focus on in analytics is change. What has changed? When you look at your website traffic, your email opens, et cetera, a number by itself means nothing, right? The open rate for this week's Trust Insights newsletter was 21%. Cool. So what? Is that good? Is that bad? Did it change from the previous week, for the previous month? How does it compare versus other industry publications? Knowing that gives context to the number. And that's what I think a lot of marketers are actually looking for, is the context. What does this mean so that we can decide what we should do? And to your point, that doesn't require much more than basic division, right? Or, you know, and some very simple formulas. The other area that I think is essentialist, and it's an interesting thing to talk about, is statistics and probability. Our friend and colleague Tom Webster over at Edison Research has a very interesting perspective on this. He says that statistics and probability are not mathematics. It is a separate discipline entirely. The fact that they both use numbers is true, but it's like the difference between writing a white paper and writing poetry. They're not the same thing. They both use letters and words, but they're completely different in their intents and outcomes. And there is a lot to statistics and probability that I think are essential to mathematics, essential to analytics. The first one being even just knowing statistical validity. Is something statistically significant? We see this a ton, especially in email marketing. Our A-B test here says that this email got 540 opens and this one got 539. Version A is the winner. Mm-mm. Nope. You failed statistical significance. There's no way you can attribute that with that small of a sample size to say that A won and B did not. The likelihood of it being random chance is as high or higher than that outcome. And so being able to do that type of math to even understand, is what my data is telling me valid, is an essential skill. And again, if it's not valid, you have no business making decisions on it. If you do, you're going to end up shooting yourself in the foot.
So would you say that most people know to even start with, is my pile of data valid, statistically valid?
That's one of the starting points, yes. I think understanding that.
Yes, they do know to start there?
I say that's where you should start. Do people know that? No, absolutely not.
Yeah, that was my question, is do people know that that's even where they should start? So for example, you know, let's say I'm looking at the open rate of my newsletter and, you know, I'm seeing a, you know, 0.01% change week over week. In my brain, I'm like, oh, okay, it's going up, therefore good, yay. Do I need to then worry about the statistical validity of that 0.01%, or do I just care that it's going up?
It depends. The key question is that happening because of something you're doing, or is that happening because of random chance and noise, right? If it's 0.01%, if it's 0.01%, it's almost certainly going to be noise, right? And so the thing to do there might be to look at a different time frame. So week over week, month over month, are you seeing greater aggregated change there? And again, you can run, you know, a chi-square test or a t-test or a two-tailed test or whatever the stats thing you want to do to assess that, whether that's the case or not. But ultimately, you want to know, is an action you are taking having an actual impact, or is what you're seeing in the data noise? This is brain-bending for a lot of people. If you look in your Google Analytics, right, and it says, you know, your users were down, you know, 1% from last week, it's got that red arrow down, you're like, ah, bad things have happened. Are you sure? Or is it noise? Do you know whether that is an important enough distinction? If your addressable audience is the entire United States, for example, and your traffic is down, you know, 1%, that may not mean anything. On the other hand, if it's, you know, if you have 10 users and you're down, well, you can't have 1% of 10 users. If you have 100 users and you're down one user, is that statistically significant? It might be, depending on your population. So there's a lot of things you have to unpack to figure out, is this important? Is this worth paying attention to? Is this worth worrying about? There are other cases where once you get into bigger effects, like we have a client that, you know, the last six weeks, lost 70% of their traffic. Guess what? That's statistically invalid, right? There's something clearly went off the rails there. And you should know the difference between those two different scenarios. You may not necessarily have to run a formal chi-square test to determine that, but you can clearly tell there's a big enough effect, like, yeah, something's up.
So I think that that's an important distinction because, you know, I would probably take a while to figure out where to start with running a chi-square test or even know that a chi-square test is the thing that I should be running. But what I'm hearing you say is it's less about math and more about common sense. And I mean that, you know, very blanket statement, but what you're saying is if your usual audience is only about 100 people and you lose one person and you see the red arrow go down, it's probably not a big deal. But if your audience is usually 100 people and you lose 90 people, like it's sort of that like proportional common sense of I lost 10%, but my audience is 1 million people. So what is 10% of 1 million? And what else was going on? So it's really having an awareness and understanding of a variety of different factors that may have been happening at the same time. So it's the numbers and all of the other situations around those numbers that contributed to why the number is. So a lot of it is really, you know, digging around and understanding the environment and understanding the time and place versus just running some mathematical formulas to say, yes, this is a thing. So it's, yeah, you know, so it's really using your brain to say, oh, well, I lost 10% of my users on a Sunday, but Sunday was Easter and nobody was doing anything.
Yeah, there is absolutely common sense and understanding the context in which your numbers exist in. And that's hard for a lot of people. When you think about it, we look at things like national polls, you know, so-and-so politicians, you know, rating is this, and you look at the underlying numbers and they say, you know, we did a telephone survey of 1,500 people. You're like, how can 1,500 people represent a nation of 330 million? It's because the scale and the sampling and the way you do the sampling, as long as you're getting it evenly mixed, is good enough that you're going to get a representation of the population as a whole. On the other hand, if you're trying to survey the top 50 CMOs, you're going to have to survey like 25 of them. You know, you can't do 0.1% cast one guy and extrapolate his opinions because there's too much chance for variation in that small of a sample. When you're looking at your marketing analytics, you have to ask yourself the same question. If you are a gigantic company, right, and you have realistically, you have a database of 100 million people, you can do sampling at a very small scale and be okay. If you're like us and your client list is not even in three zeros yet, in the three digits, then yeah, we're gonna have to ask pretty much all of our clients to get a sense of where our client base is. So it's that understanding when you look at any of your analytics that will help you decide, is this less or more important? Our email marketing list, when we started the company, we had like 500 people on it, right? So when we sent out a survey, we'd have to get a lot of responses back. As that list grows and grows and grows, and now we're in the thousands and soon to be tens of thousands, we can sample a much smaller set because as long as it's representative, we're going to get better results. We're going to be able to get better results from the sample as a whole. It's why Tom says statistics is a totally separate division, you know, discipline than regular math. And the challenge for marketers is you kind of need both because you can't have one without the other and get a full understanding of your data and a full understanding of ultimately what it is you should be doing to make changes. That's the other part that, again, to Bill's question, you need the common sense, you need some of the skills, and then you need to do something with the information because if you don't, you're just wasting your time.
So I think one of the things that, you know, any marketer should have in their toolkit is a really good working understanding of an Excel spreadsheet or a Google sheet, because you writing down the numbers. So I have this really bad habit of taking notes in my notebook manually, writing down numbers, and then trying to do the math out by hand. I still operate that way, which is not the best way to operate. And so I have to get more disciplined about putting numbers into an Excel spreadsheet because Excel will do the math for you. And so if you are someone who is bad at math, start to learn how these tools operate. You don't have to do the underlying math, but understanding the formulas and how to apply them to a series of numbers is really going to help you shortcut, you know, that C in high school math. You know, you don't have to be a mathematician in order to use Excel. You just need to have sort of some of the understanding of how the functions work. So, you know, the average function, the sum function, the, you know, there's more advanced things that you can do, but that's a really great place to start if you're not comfortable doing the math yourself.
Oh, totally. Spreadsheets, modern spreadsheets are super powerful. There's a tremendous amount you can do with them before you have to graduate to a bigger tool. There's some limitations, and you know, some of those can bite you fairly early on, but you'll discover them rapidly when you look at a result and it makes absolutely no sense. The bigger problem that I think people run into with analytics is not having a plan of action for when the numbers tell you something. So this goes back to what we were talking about a few weeks ago with scenario planning. You know, the worst case scenario, the best case scenario, the do nothing scenario, right? If you haven't written those out for your analytics, then you're going to do the computation and then have no idea what to do next.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with that. And it's the what are you going to do, but also, as I could probably cross-stitch this at this point, is what is the question you're trying to answer? Mm-hmm. Why are you looking at the numbers in the first place? You know, so yeah, it's great that I can look at my website visits week over week and see if it goes up or down, but have I done anything about it? No. And so why do I continue to look at this number and then, you know, close the tab on my computer and walk away and go make a cup of coffee? You know, and it's one of those things, like, it's a very real thing that happens every week. I look at our Google Analytics and I'm like, huh, okay. And then I move on with my life. Why am I looking at these numbers if I'm not going to do anything? So I need to figure out for myself, what numbers do I care about? And those numbers are the conversion numbers, people filling out a form on our website, taking action, raising their hands, saying, I'm interested enough in you that I'm willing to give you my contact information. That's the number that I really care about. So why am I looking at the number of people coming to the website?
Yep. This is where, amusingly, you know, the KPI mapping exercise really comes in handy. If you care about conversions, what's the number that directly influences conversions? It is actually users to the website.
Yeah.
And then it's, you have the three what's, right? What happened? So what? Now what? Where you're stuck at is what happened, right? You look at the number, what happened? But we don't dig into the so what. Why did this happen? Why is that number up or down or sideways or, you know, entirely made of sixes? Why? Did we do more with email? Did we say something clever on Twitter? And then what are we going to do about it? So that middle piece is the gap. If you are at so what and you're struggling to get to now what, it's because you didn't do the why in the middle. Why is this number changing? If you care about it, why is this number changing? And again, this goes back to Bill's original question. Do you have to be good at math to do this? No, you can actually do this all in Excel really easily. But you need to know that that's the sequence, the recipe in order. Mm-hmm. Math skills are like cooking skills, right? If you can cook and fry and bake and all these things, that's great. But if you don't have a recipe or, to your point, an idea of what it is you're trying to make, all those skills don't mean anything. You can make a lot of really weird stuff. But at the end of the day, if you're hungry, it's not going to fix the problem. So I think that's probably the meta skill that lays on top of all the math is context and purpose. Why are we doing this?
That's a great question, Chris. Why are we doing this? But you're absolutely right. That's it. You need to start with, why am I even looking at this information? Why am I going to break my brain to get the math to add up if I don't even know what I'm looking at? And I think that, you know, I can fall on the sword myself that I do it. It's a bad habit that we all have. And when you're limited on time, limited on resources, limited on budget, having the discipline or even awareness to start to focus in on only the numbers that matter are going to help you save your sanity. And it's not a matter of being good at math. It's a matter of having the awareness to say, I don't need to focus so hard on the number of visits to my website or what the bounce rate was. I need to worry about how many people took action and start there. And that's going to help me refocus in. And so, you know, I think it's an interesting question that Bill raised, because I think that there is so much of this focus on, I can't do it because I'm not good at math, where it's actually, I'm not doing it because I'm super unfocused and don't even know where to start.
Yep. We'll close on a great quote from the inimitable Seth Godin, who said about all analytics, if you're not going to change what you eat or how often you exercise, don't get on the scale, right? Because if you're not going to change what you do in your marketing, you're not going to change how you approach your business, and you're not going to focus on the impact of the actions you take, don't bother measuring. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of effort. It will just frustrate. Now, obviously, if your boss is telling you got to do the thing, you got to do the thing. But give that some thought to what Katie was saying. If you are thinking about your numbers and you feel stuck, it's probably because you haven't figured out the why and you're trying to jump ahead to what should I do, and you just get frustrated. Understand what happened, know why it happened, and then that will give you the insight as to whether you can do something about it or not. If you've got a question like Bill's that you want to ask us, stop on over to the Trust Insights website. Go to trustinsights.ai. You'll find Analytics for Marketers, our free Slack community there, our newsletter, this podcast, and so much more. We look forward to seeing you, and hope that you are staying safe and well. Talk to you next time.
Want help solving your company's data analytics and digital marketing problems? Visit trustinsights.ai today and let us know how we can help you.